Hi, this is Shannon Storms-Bedore, Real Housewife of Orange County and entrepreneur. When my company, Real for Real, started selling our health products online, we struggled to ship our orders out quickly and without error. But ShipStation's simple dashboard made it easy to manage orders from every marketplace. Plus, with ShipStation, we get up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. Automate your shipping with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com/audio for a free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
In addition to finding out that Twitter and Facebook are also experts on relationships and engagements and weddings and marriage, I'm stunned by that. I've just found the strangest reaction to the news of my pending nuptials. Are you ready for this, Producer Jay? Honestly, of all the things I expected, lots of questions. We're getting lots of questions. Lots of congratulations. Lots of snippy remarks, of course. One guy said something about how he was going to reach out to DraftKings, who I partner with here on the show, to ask the over-under on how many days in a row I mentioned getting married. Oh, I say take the over. Definitely take the over and double down on the over. I've waited a long time. I'm singing it to the world, and I am not going to stop. And there are many ways that you can avoid that if you don't want to hear it. But if you have a problem with someone being happy, then that's a you problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, that guy must be fun at parties.
Right. So I thought that was an odd one. But listen to this. This comes from Larry on our Facebook page. As a 20-year listener, now I'm assuming he isn't referring to CBS Sports Radio since we're only in year number 11, but I was on a previous network before that, and that would be about 20 years, not quite, but about. As a 20-year listener, I can only say that I am heartbroken.
I mean,
why? Why are you heartbroken that I'm happy and that I've waited such a long time and finally have seen my prayers answered and my dreams come true and I get to marry the love of my life? Why are you heartbroken over that?
I guess he had his hopes up. I don't know.
After 20 years?
He was hanging on by a thread, but he was hanging on.
But I don't know him.
I don't think he understands that.
Okay, Jay. He says he's heartbroken.
You heard him.
I did not.
You heard the man.
Stop it. I mean, if a couple of funny responses about there goes another celebrity crush, but that's meant to be in jest. This man actually says, I can only say that I am heartbroken, but I'm sure you chose wisely.
I think he's genuinely upset.
What? I mean, first of all, I'm not going to marry someone that I don't know, so that would take him out of the equation. And second of all, I'm not going to marry someone who proposes over social media. And believe me, I've had plenty of marriage proposals over social media.
No DM proposals?
Oh, I've had plenty. DM proposals until I cut that off. But just proposals flat out in on the news feed for all the world to read about marrying.
I would love to know the success rate of those.
Yeah, usually it's something along the lines of you're hot, you know sports, and I remember with you, those are pretty much the only two qualifications,
yeah,
right?
For marriage,
you're good,
right?
Looking and you love sports, as if all we would do was sit around and talk about sports forever. That'd be it. Also really funny too, when people assume that Bob must be a huge sports fan. Actually, it's the opposite and I love it. We both really love football, though he's more college and I'm more NFL when it comes to being fans of the game. But other than that, doesn't care about sports even one iota. In fact, he knows this is true, and I will out him on this. When he's listening to my show, he tends to fast forward through the parts that are about sports and only listen to the personal stories and, of course, the parts about him. Yes.
Of course.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
Oh my gosh, you guys crack me up. I mean, I've had some funny responses, but heartbroken has got to be the oddest.
The man's in pain.
Should I apologize?
No.
No.
It is what it
no,
is.
No, I'm not going to sincerely apologize. I didn't do anything to cause the man pain, but I do appreciate that he's so honest with his feelings.
He's really in touch with them.
What's worse, that or my neighbor across the street when I said to him on Saturday morning, I'm getting married in December. And I'm all excited, right? I'm giddy. I'm getting married, Jimmy. His response, and I quote, no way.
I see. I feel like that one came from a good place. Just maybe should have thought for another half a second.
What good place was that?
Like an excitement, but it was, could have said like, oh, congrats. Not, no way.
No way. And he yells it across the street.
I'll say he was excited.
Oh my gosh. People crack me up. Yes, pigs are in fact flying. They are. They're flying through the air with the greatest of ease. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I already confessed to you this time on Thursday morning that I would, in fact, be missing an NFL Sunday to get married. Of all the crazy things to happen in my life, that's one I never thought would happen. But that's the date that fits our schedules, our family schedules. It's the weekend before Christmas. There's a lot of moving parts. Just trust me, that was the right date. And so far, every vendor that we've hired or we've asked to work with us has been available. We've had no conflicts, and the details are falling into place. And producer Jay thinks that we should do a version of Ask Amy Anything that is primarily answering your questions about the wedding and about what happens after the wedding. And Jay, I'm not kidding you. I feel like I could write a blog post that does nothing but answer frequently asked questions. You know how when you go to a show or a concert or a venue or you sign up for a particular service, whatever, whatever, and they'll have an entire section on their website with FAQs.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what needs to happen now, because I'm getting a lot of the same questions over and over
again.
They're
not going to stop either until they get answered.
They're not going to stop. And even after they get answered, they're not going to stop.
Yeah, you're right.
Here's the good news. You don't even have to wait 4 months to get all your questions answered. How about that?
We're excited.
I'm really heartbroken, he said. That cracks me up. So much advice being offered. So much advice.
Oh, everyone's an expert. You know that?
Yeah. Oh,
everyone knows exactly how your wedding should go. Come on now.
Not just the wedding, but the marriage after that and all the advice after that. Anyway, you guys are sweet. For the most part, I think it comes from a good place, except the guy that's heartbroken. I'm not sure about that one.
No, he's hurt. He's hurting.
Oh, my gosh. You all are very kind to share in my joy and my excitement. And yes, Bob listens, so he'll hear all of these funny stories and exchanges. I'm happy to finally be able to let the cat out of the bag. Don't ask me why you never have a cat in a bag, but I'm excited to be able to share the news. I've been sitting on it for a few weeks because the obvious, I needed to let my family and friends know first. I would be mortified if they found out over social media or over the radio show or secondhand. You know how often we hear athletes these days who will say, oh, I found out I got cut, or I found out that I'm getting traded over social media because that's where the news broke. I would have been embarrassed if that had happened in this situation. So a lot of my friends who work in the business, like producer Jay and a couple of the others, I said to them, it's not public knowledge yet. Don't be breaking my news on your radio show, please, because that would stink. So anyway, really happy about it. Of course, there have already been fun stories and humorous stories about wedding planning and details, and we've got most of the details in place. Still a few more that we have to hammer out. But the reason why we're working on it hot and heavy now is because, oh, well, yeah, football starts in 2.5 weeks. And then all of a sudden, everything changes, my schedule. And presumably, the radio show will be greater sense of urgency. We have a lot more listeners that show up during football season. As long as we're doing something right and covering the sport, well, then you all show up in droves as well. So we're looking forward to that. It's coming, like it or not. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Good to connect with you all again. Thank you for reaching out. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we're going to get to some football. Scary moment for the Patriots and the Packers on Saturday. And so we'll give you the latest with a rookie cornerback who had to be taken off via stretcher after he was immobilized. And in addition, you know, even as we get set for this final week of preseason, we're hearing from a lot of players. Like, for instance, Aaron Rodgers will make his Jets debut. He hasn't played in the preseason in quite a while. If you missed my conversation about the New Orleans Saints, boy, they had a wacky, not just weather weekend, but some headlines that came from off the field that were also scary moments. So we'll cram in as much as we possibly can. But why don't we start in the AL West just real quickly, because the Rangers, while they lost to the Brewers over the weekend, did have a milestone moment for a newly acquired member.
Next pitch, fastball swing and a foul tip caught by Garver. And so Terang is out on strikes. Max Scherzer moves past Phil Niekro and into 11th place now by himself on baseball's all-time strikeout list.
Tough one. This is a weird start. You know, it's not like I got hit around. You know, they just put really good at bats to me. They had a really good approach against me, and just found a way to take their walks. And, you know, I just didn't feel like I was putting guys away, especially when I got to two strikes. I was not putting guys away. I was, you know, kind of letting them hang around, and they were doing a great job of fouling balls off and, you know, not giving me an inch. You know, didn't chase or anything like that. So, weird one. Obviously, I want to pitch better. Obviously, I need to pitch deeper into a ball game. But sometimes you got to tip your hat and move on.
You know, you give them credit, man. They really grinded out at bats. They laid off tough pitches. You know, it's kind of who we are. And they had a good series doing that on us. And, you know, he just walked some guys. And, of course, they hit batsmen with the bases loaded. But still, it's a ball game, and we just couldn't get this offense going. You know, we're in a little bit of a funk right now. But maybe it's good. We're getting on the road and see if we can tighten some things up and get back on track here.
Yeah, Max Scherzer kind of gets hit hard after he earns strikeout number 3,343 and is poised now just outside the top 10. But he didn't get out of the fourth inning. And so he throws 99 pitches. The Brewers get to him. Really more about the walks. He had four walks, and they hurt him a bunch. But the Brewers go 7-3 on this road trip. So as the Rangers kind of take a step back, the Astros are also following suit, so we'll get to the rest of the West, but good for the Brewers and Craig Council.
I'm not advocating for more three-city road trips, so don't get me to do that. So
but it's good baseball.
It's just, in the end, it's like consistent baseball, and you know, you're going to have series where, you know, things don't go your way, especially when you're playing really good baseball teams. Instead of having that affect the next game, you move on, and because that's what the game calls for, and that's what a major league season calls for.
Little bit of a cushion for the Brew Crew atop the NL Central. Cubs, though, have played extremely good baseball over the course of the last couple months, and so they are now sitting just three games back with the Reds. Remember, they took their turn atop the NL Central standings there at four games back. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Mentioned the Rangers backpedaling a little bit. Well, the same can be said of the Astros, to the tune of a sweep at the hands of the red-hot Mariners. So Seattle has now won six in a row, but here's an even more critical nerd alert. They are 8-2 against the World Series champions this season. And so after this game, Dusty Baker and the Astros hold a closed-door meeting to try to have maybe a come-to-Jesus moment of sorts, because as Martin Maldonado called it, this is one of the lowest parts of the season.
Doesn't feel good. They're playing good ball, and they got everything that they needed, you know, the whole weekend. You know, homers, two out, hits. We knew they were hot coming in here. We didn't play especially well. Played well enough probably to win the game today. The deficit was a little big, but we still had opportunities.
I think for our end, you know, I think it should be a slap in the face. I would say wake up call. So I think we got to, you know, we got to go out there and play better, better energy, and don't be satisfied because you're just playing the game. We got to go out there and win the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's time to panic for the Astros. They do have guys, obviously, from last year's World Series team, as well as the one in 17. I don't know if they still have the trash cans around. But they do have veterans, not to mention Dusty Baker as a leader. So no one's panicking, but it is important for them to try to turn this ship around quickly, because the Mariners, who now know what it feels like, what it tastes like to make the playoffs, they are breathing down the Astros' necks, just a half game back in the AL West standings. Jose Altuve recording career hit number 2,000 over the weekend. That happened Saturday. But again, they lost in a sweep to Seattle and their own place, that taking place at Minute Maid Park. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. A battle of postseason contenders in Atlanta and strange bullpen mistake for the Braves.
Yates throws, and it is ball four. He walked him. Missed low with a fastball. A four-pitch walk to Jock Peterson. It comes with the bases loaded in the ninth inning, and the Giants take a 4-3 lead.
Lack of command. Nothing really else to it. You know, just kind of beat my and put myself in a hole, you know, after that Estrada at bat. That one kind of stung us, 0-2, and kind of got him good. And, you know, it kind of put me in a bad situation.
So Kirby Yates is the one who gave up that bases-loaded walk. And for the Giants, they're able to take advantage of a mistake because they were just 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. And a lot of guys were talking about the heat in Atlanta. So not just the Braves, who maybe are a little more used to it, but also Wilmer Flores, who was on NBC Sports.
Definitely a big win today. Especially with this weather, it's really hot out here. And we're looking to get some rest today and start a new series tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a theme right now. Certainly it's August, and so you understand that some of these playing surfaces are baking, and the heats, the temp, the humidity, all of that. It was the theme in Cincinnati, where they were wrapping up the hard court tournament, the Western and Southern Open for the women. Coco Gauff ends up with the victory, and then Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz. But you're dealing with heat and humidity that can be even more extreme on a hard court. And so it's about now heading into the U.S. Open, where the temps haven't been quite as extreme this summer in the New York area. You got to beware of dehydration, heat stroke, heat exhaustion, that type of thing. And we're talking about August sporting events. Though on this morning, it is August 21st, and fall is not that far away. I do love fall. All right, we're going to get to the Yankees before the hour is done, I guess the back half of the hour, because they have lost 8 in a row for the first time since the mid-90s, for heaven's sake. I mean, when my nieces tell me the 90s are back, I'm not sure that's what they meant. And then also, a little bit from that game in New England where you had the scary moment with Isaiah Bolden and the Packers and Patriots agreeing to call off the rest of the game. They were early in the fourth quarter. We'll try to squeeze in some Brock Purdy. He's back out on the field for the first time since the NFC Championship. But if you missed anything, you can go back and listen to the podcast without all of the commercial breaks. We post it every weekday morning on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I'm waiting for the officials to come in and meet with us. We got a hurricane coming in. My phone's blowing up with an earthquake emergency. And then the officials come in and say, well, it's technically an outside stadium, so if there's lightning, we might have a lightning delay. I'm like, what the hell? You know?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dennis Allen animated. I actually have decided Dennis may get to be part of our group of coaches, select group of NFL coaches that crack us up. We highlight them post-game press conferences because they are hoots during the week, too. So Dan Campbell, Mike McDaniel, Mike Tomlin, and Dennis Allen. Would that be our group? That's some pretty select company right there.
I don't know. Dennis Allen, has he earned that class yet?
We'll see. Find people in life who are your kind of crazy, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're all kinds of crazy. And so it's good to connect with you on this now Monday morning. We're getting closer to the season opener. It's just, 11 days away now? Saints and Chargers played in some crazy weather, as you hear with Dennis Allen. The game went on as planned at SoFi Stadium. Had a chance to talk to Ross Jackson, who had gotten back to New Orleans after the week there in L.A. He escaped, got out of Dodge. Asked him whether or not he was surprised that the NFL continued with his game.
Well, to be honest, I actually wasn't that surprised that they decided to go on with the game because it just felt like that's what the NFL would do, that sweet, sweet preseason ad revenue, especially with it being, you know, an NFL network game and stuff like that. I 100% expected them to play this game. However, I don't agree with the choice of doing it. I lived for over a decade in Los Angeles, the area of Los Angeles, Orange County, not super well equipped for hurricanes, believe it or not, because they don't happen very often. So not the call that I would have made, but not one that I'm surprised the NFL did.
What did you hear from Dennis Allen, from any of the players, about getting ready to play a game with this hurricane coming on, bearing down, but also there's an earthquake? Just kind of crazy that the baseball teams canceled their games or postponed their games, but not the Saints and Chargers.
Yeah, I think the MLS also rescheduled some games as well over in the soccer leagues or the football leagues, but not football. No. NFL said no, thank you. It was a weird thing for them. I mean, you know, look, the Saints had joint practices with the Chargers on the Thursday and Friday leading up to this game. The starters for both of those teams played like five different team drill periods. They got a lot of great work in. I think that maybe if it was up to the two teams would have said, hey, we got good work in. We're Gucci. Like, we're good. Like, let's always just go home and get out of here. But the NFL didn't want to go that route. So then you had them getting ready to play this game, making the travel up to Los Angeles. Then you have a 5.1 magnitude earthquake. Look, an earthquake in California that's a 5.1 magnitude is like just kind of like brushing dirt off your shoulder. You're good. You move on. You know what I mean? Like, it happens, you happen, and then you move on, and that's it. So I wasn't surprised that that didn't interfere. But then the really interesting one that Dennis Allen highlighted at the end of the game is that technically, because of the glass ceiling of SoFi, it's considered technically an outdoor stadium. And so they were waiting to potentially experience a lightning delay, of all things.
Oh, gosh.
And so it just was a weird, wild night for the New Orleans Saints and the Los Angeles Chargers. But thankfully, they got the game done. The New Orleans Saints just expected back in New Orleans around 3 a.m. Now it's just the travel getting back.
Why did we not see most of the Saints starters?
I think a good reason why is because of what I was just talking about with the joint practices of getting like five team reps for each of the first and second team over and over and over again. They were 2-minute drills. They did goal line. They did red zone. They did down and distance work. I mean, they went through everything for 2 days. So really, they played 10 drives worth. They're the two team starters played 10 drives worth of game simulation during these practices. So I imagine that had a little something to do with it, to where they felt that the starters got a lot of work. A guy like Jake Haener, who played the entire second half with the exception of having to leave for a concussion protocol check for the New Orleans Saints at quarterback, he saw zero snaps in either of those joint practices. So this was really an opportunity for them to get a better look at their second unit, get a better look at their third unit led by Jake Haener, get a better look at him, and get a better look at the guys that are vying for roster spots as opposed to those that are solidified in roster spots.
Since we didn't see the first team offense in this particular game, but we know that Derek Carr has played in the first preseason game. He's been talking a lot about the work that he's getting. What stands out to you so far about the integration of him as the new Saints QB?
I think one of the biggest differences you see from him over the course of what you've seen at quarterback for the Saints for the past 2 years is his ability pre-snap. His ability to diagnose what a defense is about to do. It fits hand in hand with what it is that the New Orleans Saints like to do. The Saints have these lengthy play calls, right? These like Falcon, right, X, post, Z, split, you know, wide, West Coast play calls. But that doesn't stop them from doing this thing that they really like to do, which is actually call two of those plays in the huddle. So what they'll do is that they'll come in, they'll send the quarterback in, and they'll give him a call, and then they'll give him a kill call, and they call that next call a kill call, which means that we're killing the first play and we're going to the second play. And so you'll see them go up to the line of scrimmage and you'll see Derek Carr kind of check and look over the defense. If the look for the defense, if the look that the defense is giving him is best for the second play call than the first play call, you'll hear him change the play at the line of scrimmage. Those types of moments, as well as his ability to adjust protection calls, adjust the play flow of the offensive line, all those things, those are the things that make for a winning football team, and things that specifically with a New Orleans style brand of football that the offense needs in order to operate at its highest level. So I think he brings what the Saints need to be able to operate at their highest level over on the offensive side.
This is off the football field, but some scary moments and reports about Jimmy Graham. Did hear Dennis Allen say after the game that he was with the team. What do you know, Ross?
Yeah, scary situation. He was kind of found wandering, disoriented by, I guess it was Orange County police on Friday night. It was around 7:40, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. And he was arrested. And the initial reports that came out were that, you know, there was a controlled substance thing and stuff like that. And this is why it's very, very important to be thorough as opposed to first when it comes to news, because we're talking about human beings and their lives out here. What actually happened, as we learn more, is that he was indeed arrested. However, he was experiencing what the Saints called, quote, a medical episode. I would call it a medical emergency that is believed to be a seizure. Now, Amy, I'm somebody that has been battling seizures since I was 15 years old. I have epilepsy, and I understand sort of the situation to where when you're disoriented and you don't have anyone around you that knows what you're experiencing, or, you know, that it, especially if it's your first time ever experiencing it and things like that, like it could be really dangerous. And so it was a great thing that Jimmy was able to get, well, first of all, out of police custody, because come on. But then also the help that he needed in terms of the medical help. And so they're going to continue to do medical tests to figure out sort of the cause of what he experienced, if it indeed was a seizure. The good thing to know, though, is that sometimes seizures are complete one-offs. They can be complete one-offs as opposed to somebody like me who has a lifelong condition and will be battling them forever. And that's sort of what you hope for Jimmy, is that it was a one-off situation that he'll be able to return to the football field. But until they know that, I wouldn't expect to see him anywhere near a football field for a little bit.
I could imagine your heart went out to him knowing what you have to deal with and the challenges in your own life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things where, like, I can't wait to get back to the facility to kind of talk to him about it and everything and all, because it is such a unique sort of experience to have that it's very hard to explain to somebody that hasn't experienced it, but it's also very hard to openly find people who have experienced it. So I'm hoping to be able to kind of connect and be able to show a little bit of support around all that. Because, again, I know that, you know, we work in this sort of like media disconnection and all these other things, but at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And so we're all hoping well for Jimmy.
Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints and also the SI family of reporters and insiders who cover the NFL. And you'll see that full conversation as part of our podcast After Hours CBS on Twitter when the show is done. Also on our Facebook page, we talked about the NFC South division that is wide, wide, wide open with all the transition. Also about the Saints defense, the plan at running back. And I think one of my favorite questions that I was able to pose to him, what about Michael Thomas? What's the latest with Michael Thomas as he attempts to return to the football field, albeit with a new quarterback? On both of our social media sites every weekday morning, you get that link.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's the 1-0 to Volpe as runners lead. Pitch is lined to right and deep, and that ball is gone! It's a three-run home run by Volpe. What a big hit for the Yankees. The Fox socks one to right, and the game is tied at five.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a line drive down the right field line. It's a fair ball hitting on the grass, rolling into the corner. Reyes has scored. Devers to third. He's held there, and Turner has done it again with an RBI double, and the Red Sox take a 6-5 lead.
Now the 1-2. A fly ball to center. Back goes Duval, and he makes the catch. Ball game over. Boston wins.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The calls on both the Red Sox and Yankees radio networks. Red Sox have won 8 of 11 now by sweeping the Yankees. Justin Turner with a big RBI double in the ninth, even after the Yankees take the lead with what was a seventh inning Anthony Volpe home run. So yeah, here are the Yankees going the wrong way. And even though they still, I don't want to say still anymore. I was going to say, even though they still technically are within shouting distance of a wild card, they've actually fallen 9 games back now, and there are 4 or 5 teams in front of them. So I don't know whether or not you could say they still have a we called it a spitting chance. Earlier, we actually got into the whole sound of a camel spitting. It's kind of gross, actually, and I don't know that the Yankees are within spitting distance, but they may sound like they're throwing up. Where's the original one, though? The one Jay... So that actually, Jay found that on YouTube, and we found the video. We know it's a camel. But the one he found that was just audio from earlier, this is the sound of Yankees Nation right now. It's so gross. That's a camel spitting. He's spitting, but he sounds like he's gurgling and upchucking. Oh, stop it. That's so gross. It's so gross. Okay, anyway, as I say, Yankees are below 500. In fact, they're 15 games below 500 since early June. And Aaron Boone is doing everything he possibly can to hold out hope.
We got to be unbelievable the rest of the way.
Uh-huh.
So it's not even about that. It's about coming to try and win a game Tuesday. And then all of a sudden you start stacking, and then an amazing thing happens. But we're so far removed from that right now. We got to get a win first.
Just a win. Just one. Can we start with one, please? And then we'll get excited about potentially putting two in a row. Oh, my gosh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We just need one. There was some good stuff in baseball over the weekend. Talked about Max Scherzer, his milestone, Jose Altuve. How about Mookie Betts, who may be taking over the MVP lead from his teammate Freddie Freeman with the way that he has been playing lately? He is otherworldly.
Infield is in. Here is Mookie. Do they pitch to him? Yep. Line drive, center field, base hit. Dodgers take the lead. One run will score. Coming towards the plate is Barnes. Throw comes in. The catch is late. It is a two-run single for Mookie Betts here in the bottom of the eighth.
Now Mookie with a shot to left, and it is gone, a home run. Deep into Manny Wood. Mookie Betts, when you're hot, you're hot. Now 33 home runs. And with two this afternoon and one tonight, 85 runs batted in.
Yeah, Mookie Betts, in front of LeBron James and his family, by the way, on Sportsnet LA, he talks about saluting the king who was watching on a bobblehead giveaway.
Super cool. I get to go to the Lakers game sometimes, and I, you know, wave to him. We hadn't really got to talk a whole lot, but, you know, game recognized game, and had to try and show out for him.
I love that.
That's game. What real men do.
Game recognized game. Well, for sure, Mookie and LeBron both have game, if you will. So that's a little bit from Major League Baseball. There's more, obviously, as we head toward the final days of August and then a stretch run into September. We'll get hot and heavy with what's happening on the baseball diamond. But, you know, baseball has to share the center ring of the circus with football. Football, you can't encroach, except for when we're talking about the NFL encroaching on the territory of every other sport. It's year-round now. It's good, though. It's good to have these preseason opportunities. And Brock Purdy back out on the field for the first time since he got injured in the NFC Championship.
Felt really good just to be out there with the guys in a game environment. Obviously, just get the nerves out a little bit. Just the build-up to a game and everything, and then being able to, you know, get an early completion to Debo and get things rolling. So it felt really good, you know, be able to get out there, drive, and honestly just be in a game, you know, environment, like I said. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
I thought he did real good. I mean, all the plays that he had, he made, and I don't think he had a bad one. You know, on that sack, that wasn't we busted a protection, and we'll see if he could have done anything about it and got rid of it. You always try your hardest to get rid of it because once you get sacked there, it's tough to score, but it didn't look like there was much you could do live.
Welcome back, Brock Purdy. I'm really excited to see what he can do with a full year and the confidence of knowing that he's QB1. Now, he obviously had to believe in himself. He had to stay true and kind of pursue and follow those dreams and wait for the opportunity. But once the chance came along, he did the old carpe diem, seize the day, and has really never looked back. I kind of feel bad for Trey Lance and the Niners, man. If Trey Lance were the only guy in town, right? So if there had been no Brock Purdy, he's likely starting. He's getting ready to start this season. But that's not how sports go, right? A lot of times it is about who can take advantage of an opportunity when presented, who can be ready and step into a void. In the case of Brock Purdy, regardless of where he was drafted, he was ready when called on, and he knew exactly how to not just execute what the coaches were asking of him, but to rely on his playmakers. He didn't try, as many rookies will do when they're attempting to prove themselves, he didn't try to do it all by himself, and it couldn't have gone better. I mean, it's crazy to think that the Niners haven't had a steady starting quarterback. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo was the plan, but he was constantly hurt. They haven't had a steady starting quarterback in, what, 5 years? So, not since Kyle Shanahan got there have they been able to stick to the plan at QB. And that goes back to the Super Bowl right after the Falcons coughed up the 28-3 lead against the Patriots. So what was that, 16? It was a 16, so it was a 15 season, 16? Oh, shoot, now I've got my dates mixed up. Anyway, Kyle Shanahan left right after that, and since then has had a revolving door at quarterback, and yet they've gone to back-to-back NFC championships, and so credit them. But the Trey Lance move was a, at the time they couldn't have known, but it was a waste. It was a waste of a draft pick. It was a waste of moving up. If they're not going to use him, they're going to have to trade him, because he's getting toward the end of his rookie deal, and they could see him walk for nothing. They're going to have to get something for him if Brock Purdy stays healthy and is the plan moving forward. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Maybe you thought that the offense in New England would be getting the yeoman's share of attention, and that's probably the case for the Green Bay Packers, right, who are turning to Jordan Love even as they emerge from the Aaron Rodgers era.
At this point, I think I'm definitely ready for week one and carry on throughout the season. I think these first two games were a lot of good work, obviously getting the practice in with Cincy and with the Patriots as well. But I think, you know, playing in that last game would just be getting more reps, just getting more comfortable, seeing new looks, going against a different team. So I don't think it would hurt.
So Jordan Love is assuming the position, if you will. And for the New England Patriots, maybe you thought that Mac Jones in the spotlight, and it's a lot of chatter. I don't know if it's legit and if there's really any truth to some of these reports about Mac Jones' position being tenuous. We know that Bill Belichick is ruthless. He'll do whatever is best for the football team. He says that over and over again. But in the case of the Patriots, it actually wasn't the offense that was the focal point after the game. Instead, it was Isaiah Bolden, the rookie cornerback, who suffered a head-to-head collision and then dropped to the turf, really lifeless. And scary moment, not just for the Patriots, but for the Packers. The fact that they had to immobilize him and get him off the field on a stretcher in an ambulance, even though it was not the same situation, not the same circumstances as DeMar Hamlin, you can imagine there were those same types of emotions because of how it looked, having a fallen teammate who needed medical assistance and wasn't getting up on his own. So Bill Belichick and Matt LaFleur right away got together. You could see them standing together, and they decided that it was the right call to postpone. And from a longtime Patriot, special teams captain Matthew Slater, I'm not sure you could have higher praise for his coach.
I really appreciate what Coach Belichick did tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, he took the initiative on that. And look, this is not the AFC Championship. We're not playing for records. This is preseason game two. And we have an injury like that. You know, it affects a lot of guys in a lot of different ways. And clearly our team was shaken by what happened. And I think Coach made the right decision. I think, you know, that was tremendous leadership by him. And I have to say, honestly, that was one of the proudest moments I've had as a guy who's played for him for now 16 years to see what he did. And there was no hesitation. And, you know, I appreciate Coach LaFleur as well for, you know, standing with him on that. I think everybody acted swiftly and, you know, it was the right call in this situation.
Matthew Slater with high praise for Bill Belichick. And yeah, as he points out, this was not a playoff game. This wasn't even important. Really, what's most important is that everyone comes out of it without getting hurt. And so in the case of Isaiah Bolden, it was wonderful to hear that he was out of the hospital. He did actually travel back with the Patriots to New England. And so that was Sunday morning that they traveled back. No other details from the Pats about his injuries. That's essentially how they do things. They kind of treat their injury report. Well, Bill Belichick treats it with disdain, but also they are as vague as possible, like their hockey injuries, upper body, lower body type of thing. But Bolden himself did post on social media Sunday, appreciate the prayers, more excited to be back with the guys. So they did not end up finishing the game, but he could feel all of his extremities. He was tweeting himself. He traveled back with the team. So that's huge. They did keep him overnight at the hospital, but he was fine to leave with the Pats. So that's the most important thing to come out of that particular game. Yeah, you're just at this point now with 1 weekend to go in the preseason. There's cuts to be made, of course, so there's still position battles taking place. But also, you want to try to emerge as healthy as possible. Joint practices were also canceled, too, between the Patriots and the Texans, right? I think it was supposed to be the Texans. Oh, Bill O'Brien, the reunion. I'm sure they're all happy to see their former head coach. One more game I don't want to overlook tonight's game between the Ravens and the Washington Commanders. So that's taking place in the D.C. area later on tonight. So, there is one more preseason game, and then we are days away. Good to have you with us. I just want to apologize for the technical difficulties. We have no idea what happened. It wasn't on our end. It's more about the actual satellite and distribution. So the technical side of network radio and getting the program out to all of you. But I've heard from so many of you, Nashville, Houston, Dallas, Massachusetts. I know a lot of you had dead air for a bit, and then you heard some old programming. Again, not on our end. We were here. Engineers are working on it. Hopefully all fixed up by this time tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!